last week we looked at the temptations of Jesus and how God protects us as we draw near to God. Today's psalm is a prayer for those promises that were given to us in Psalm 91 last week to become a reality. It is a psalm written by David, compiled from phrases from many of his other psalms. The Septuagint gives an expanded heading for the psalm, saying that it was written when Absalom was pursuing David. Now, we don't know that that's true. It could be possible, but there's not enough evidence in the other manuscripts, the old, good old Hebrew manuscripts, to prove it. However, because psalms are meant to be universal, and because they are also the prayers that would have been prayed by Jesus, I think that we can read this psalm as a prayer of deliverance from the evil one. I believe we can read the enemy as Satan and pray that we will win the spiritual battle. And one of the reasons I think it's valid to read this psalm in that way is due to one of the unique lines in this psalm, which is verse 2. Verse 2, "And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no living person shall be justified." Other psalms plead for God's deliverance, plead for God to withhold judgment, but the rationale is in standing in contrast with the wicked who care nothing for God's ways and nothing for God, nothing for God's laws. But in this place, in this psalm, it's a pure plea for mercy, recognizing the universal truth that no person is without sin, which is what we hear in our Romans passage, that no one can be justified apart from the righteousness that is imputed to us by God in Christ Jesus. Many of us know by heart Romans 3, 23 and 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." But Romans 3, 19 and 20 tells us that no one can be justified by doing the works of the law. Rather, it's the law that shows us just how sinful we really are. We read those commandments and we realize after a while we can't do that. We certainly can't do all of them, and we can't do even one of them all the time. It makes us shut our mouths, which is what it was supposed to do. The other thing it was supposed to do, which is said in Romans, is to point us to Jesus. Our righteousness is that of God that comes to all who believe in Christ Jesus, which is what Romans 3:22 says. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Without Jesus, no one is righteous. And with Jesus, God sees you as righteous. And so we pray this prayer that we have in Psalm 143 as those who are dependent upon God for our righteousness, confessing and acknowledging our sin and our inherent weakness before God, and asking God to help us to have victory over the devil, over temptation, over the evil one. At some point, we realize that we're losing or are about to lose a spiritual battle. David says in verses 3 and 4 that the enemy has persecuted his soul, has crushed his life to the ground, has made me to dwell in darkness, which has resulted in his feeling overwhelmed and distressed. I grant that there are times that most of us, if not all of us, probably all of us, have felt the same way. When we are losing the spiritual battle, we need to quickly confess our sin and our need for God, and we need to change our mindset, which is what David does in the next part of the psalm. When we are losing the spiritual battle, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and put them back on the Lord. When we take time to remember who the Lord is, what God has done, we are reminded that, yes, God is able to deliver us. God will forgive us, and that God's way is the right way. In verse 10, David says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." And in verse 9, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." David puts himself in a posture of learning from the God. He desires to be taught. And in order to do so, he humbles himself. And he's humble enough to know that he doesn't know it all. Those of you who have teaching experience know how hard it is to teach somebody who doesn't want to be taught. It is very difficult, isn't it, teachers? If you don't want to learn, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can do your best, you can do acrobatics, you can do all these things, but it's really hard to teach people that don't want to learn. So we have to put ourselves in a position where we say, God, I want you to teach me. I want to learn. So how open are you to being taught by the Lord? It takes humility. The fact that obedience doesn't earn us righteousness does not negate the fact that we should obey the Lord. It is because we have been made righteous that we should strive to live righteously, especially when we have discovered the failures and the pitfalls of living an ungodly life, that which results in distress and heartache and despair. Practicing right living will help us win the spiritual battle. We can't keep going our own way and expect to win. Remember from last week that Jesus won the spiritual battle because first he prepared in advance for it. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. He not only knew the law, but he lived it. So he knew the scriptures, and we know that because he quoted them freely. But he also lived into it. And he was committed to doing the Father's will and not his own will. These same techniques will help us to win our spiritual battles. But the first key to winning the spiritual battle is to acknowledge that the battle has already been won. Jesus Christ is the victor, and the devil has been defeated. We also have to acknowledge that apart from Christ, we are defeated and we cannot win. Third, like David, we need to humble ourselves and open ourselves up to being taught by God. We need to keep short accounts with the Lord by confessing our sin regularly. I'm not sure that a corporate prayer on Sunday morning is regularly enough. We are all forgiven or unforgiven sinners. We have either received the forgiveness that God offers us and Jesus' righteousness, or we have rejected it. Or maybe we haven't heard about it until now. Certainly, there are plenty of people all around us who are languishing with feeling overwhelmed and distressed and defeated, who have hearts that they want to be set free, who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are more people than you realize that have no clue what the gospel is. They may already be keenly aware that they cannot save themselves, but they might not know about the Savior and what he has done for them. So we need to share the good news of Jesus. We are always in a spiritual battle. It is the reality that we live in. The world, the flesh, and the devil continue to take their best shots at us. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and claim our identity in Christ, we can find victory. God never does anything without purpose. We are confronted with things that God desires to use to make us more dependent on the Lord and to teach us more about God. God wants mature disciples who use the resources and gifts and abilities that the Lord has given us to advance the kingdom. Sometimes it takes some testing for us to realize whose we are as well as who we are. However, when we end up in the slime, we cannot blame that on God. James 1:13 through 15 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." According to James, We can't even say, the devil made me do it, which is precisely what Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden. The devil might be the instrument that God uses. He is the tempter. But it's my fault and it's your fault when we give in to temptation and choose to disobey the Lord. If you are in a place where you are not feeling victorious, remember again that Christ is victor, that sin and death and the devil were defeated on the cross. And realize again that Jesus stands ready always and ever to forgive every single thing, no matter how small or great you see it. He will forgive you for every single sin that you ever commit. In fact, he already did it. We just have to receive it and acknowledge it. So what do you need to confess to God? Ask the Lord to teach you what he would have you learn and do. Humble yourselves in his presence and learn from the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you that you forgive us time and time again. We acknowledge the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we thank you, Jesus, for giving us your righteousness. Lord, we thank you that you rescue us from the slime. And we pray that we might experience victory in Jesus. We pray that you would teach us to humble ourselves so that we might learn all that you would have us learn, that you would strengthen us to be bold, strong servants for your kingdom. Thank you that you are always with us, and thank you that you always love us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.